Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, if he isn't yours, he wants to be. He can be. In fact, he came to be in the book of Luke 19 and 10. The Word of God says, Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Boy, I'm excited about the program, excited about the message, excited about the song I've just got queued up. Debbie's going to do. What a wonderful privilege it is for she and I to be here and for you to be joining with us. Hey, it's a privilege we don't take lightly. I'm telling you, we don't take it lightly. I've opened my Bible to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 12. 1 Kings, right after the book of 2 Samuel, right before the book of 1 Chronicles. And I'm going to be looking at verses 25 and following. Would you join me after Debbie does one of our favorite songs that she has done? Oh, what an honor. And it is, friend, it's an honor to serve the King. Be back in just a minute with a message.
Last night I was dreaming. I stood in a place, standing in the midst of a throne, like a little girl. All of her dreams, I was dressed in royalty. I wondered how this could be, for I'm just a pauper, you see. Then I heard a thundering voice, it was speaking to me. Great prize one day on Calvary. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. He owns it all, he owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising his name. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. He owns it all, he owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising his name. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. Just praising the King. Oh, what an honor. Oh, 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 what an honor.
Oh, I like that. I'll tell you what, folks down at our church, we have the privilege of pastoring, likes that too. Thank God. It is an honor, is it not? Look, friend, I don't have to serve the Lord. I get to. I don't have to go to church. I want to. I don't have to preach the gospel. It's a privilege to, friend. What a joy. What it is to a joy to know Christ as my Savior. Hey, listen to me, friend. This thing that I'm in, this thing called Christianity, This thing called Christianity, hey, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about His Son who died at Calvary. It's about His Word. It's about His work. It's about His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And if you look at that right and that part of the model prayer, it's actually meaning in us individually. It's not talking about the world in general. It's talking about the individual praying specifically. But that's another message for another time. Here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 12, I don't know, I probably ought to read a lot of this, but can I just start right here? Can I just start here in verse 28? And the Bible said, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, talking about his people now of the 10 tribes of the northern nation, part of the nation, it's too much for you. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, the gods, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I'm going to talk to you today a little while, and I'm going to read other verses as I bring this message to you in this passage. But I'm going to talk to you about convenient Christianity. A convenient Christianity, and I probably used this text somewhere in the days gone by, but this message, I've never preached it, I've thought about it many times, I've considered it, I've prayed about it, never have the liberty, listen, to do it, and today, I'll be honest with you, when I get done, when I finish this message, when I say farewell, when the song is ended, when the program's gone, I'll have left more unsaid than I will say that needs to be said, but by the grace of God, I'm going to do my best to share with you the message that God has laid on my heart. We live in a day, friend, of a convenient world, do we not? We live in a day of an entitlement mentality in our society. We live in a day of a Burger King type mentality. You deserve it your way. Or like L'Oreal says, oh, you're worth it. You know that you are. Hey, I want you to know, friend, we're living in a day that actually is partial fulfillment of the Word of God, according to what I can read in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, when it says that men shall be lovers of their own self. And oh, look, friend, these selfies, these Instagrams, and all of this stuff that we can do on those little mini computers that we carry in our pocket, hold in our hand, they're enabling us, this generation, to fulfill the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? But if you look at Christianity today and compare it with Christianity of yesterday, and I'm not talking about a literal 24-hour period, I'm talking just in a figurative way. Friend, listen, I'll tell you, it's changed. You know it's changed. I know it's changed. It's become something, friend, that accommodates man instead of obeying God. But can I say this? Apostasy, listen, isn't anything new. The desire to bring forth a convenient way to heaven, a convenient way to obey God, something that doesn't cost us anything, something that doesn't demand anything of us, something that attunes to us, that ministers to us, that makes us feel good about ourselves, our old sinful, sick, fallen self. That's what we want. Listen, there's no new thing under the sun. The Word of God says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the wise man said that when it comes to human nature, when it comes to the fallen state of mankind, the depravity of mankind, nothing has changed from the beginning. Since the beginning, all nothing has changed. So let's look at this Word. Let's look and see what the Word of God says. Let me set this setting up first. Here, this man by the name of Jeroboam, and I like to refer to him and Rehoboam as the Boam boys. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. Solomon had sinned. God told him, look, Solomon, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to separate the nations. I'm going to divide the nation of Israel. The 12 tribes are going to be a division. And these two men by the name of Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, and Jeroboam was a unique character. I don't have time to get into his history. He had been down in Egypt. He had left. He'd been out of the nation when he heard that Solomon had died and Rehoboam took over the throne. He came out of Egypt and came back north. And at this time, the nation of Israel is divided. So that tells you what a good time. It was a sad time. I'm telling, hey, can I tell you this? Our nation, United States of America, is more divided in this day and the hour that we live in than any other time that I ever know. Now, I didn't live in the Civil War era, and it was a very divisive time back then. I did come through the 60s. It was very divisive back then. But I'm telling you, friend, listen, although Donald Trump is getting blamed for the division in this nation, hey, it's not his fault. It's what people think about him. I'm telling you, I'm afraid. It's my opinion, and I'm privileged to share it with you that Obama did more to divide us and to injure us as far as relationships go in America than any other president in my time. But can I tell you, listen, friend, listen, we're in a mess. I don't care what you think, who you are. The truth is, we're in a mess. We're divisive. We're divided in so many ways that it's not funny. Well, Jeremiah said, listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to fall in with the old past. I'm going to create something new. And oh, look, there's a lot of people creating. A lot of things are new. And if you go over to the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, you'll see seven churches of Asia Minor. They're very actual churches. I mean, the messages were practical to those churches founded in those areas that they are ascribed to. But those messages were also prophetical. They are pictures. Listen to the seven phases of the church age. And I submit to your hearing when you get to verse 14, the last church mentioned, the church of the Laodiceans. We're living in the age of convenient Christianity. We're living in the age of accommodation. We're living in the age, friend, that's apparent in our world today. The church is being transformed. Man is on the inside. Man is at the center of the thing. And Christ has been put to the outside, and He's knocking on the door, wanting back in. I'm telling you, friend, listen, we ought to get our nose out of our Instagrams, out of our Facebooks, and get it back into God's book. Somebody say amen right there. We ought to quit worrying about ourselves. We ought to start seeking God's face, seeking His will. Can I tell you, Christianity's never been convenient. I believe Jesus said, except you deny yourself. There's a big problem with this generation, is it not? If He said, unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Me daily, you cannot be My disciples. Oh, listen, the Word of God tells us that Christianity has never been convenient. Hey, you know what we're to do? We're to seek first His kingdom. And all the other things that we're seeking for should be added unto us. Matthew 6 and 33. The Bible tells us in the book of, well, I believe it's one of the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. I believe it is the second letter. He said, listen, all that live godly shall suffer. Jesus, God told Paul to tell maybe the church of Thessalonica that I've chosen you to suffer. All people don't want to suffer today. They don't want to suffer today. They want a convenient Christianity. They want to go someplace and let a little preacher give them some little sermonette, hey, that'll tickle their fancy and tickle their ears that are itching and cause them to think better about themselves than what they are. But I'll tell you, bless God, we need to stand and thunder the Word of God. Preach the unadulterated truths of the Word of God. Stay with the apostles' doctrine. If there's any hope to be had, if there's any help to be known, bless God, we'll do it because we did what they did in Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And yet today people don't want doctrine. They say doctrine divides. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to bring peace but a sword. I'm telling you, truth divides. And that's what people don't want. But I got to get to my message. I'll never get it preached. Listen to verse 27. Jeroboam said, now listen, I'm looking at this thing. He said, if people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord God of Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn away from their Lord, even unto Jeroboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. You know what? He wasn't caring what was right. He didn't care for the people doing what they needed to do, what was right to do. He was more concerned about himself, more concerned about his position, what he wanted, what his will was, rather than what the good for the people is, and more than that, what the will of God is. Can you not see this being portrayed in our society? Listen, Jeroboam, and here's the crux of it. He knew what was right. He knew what was right, but he had another idea. He wanted what he wanted, regardless of what God had said, regardless of what thus saith the Lord. Hey, friend, listen. He wanted something that was contrary to the will of God, and he wasn't ignorant of it. That's the thing about it. He knew it full well. He went against the word of Almighty God. In verse 28, he said, "Now look, whereupon the king took a council, made two calves of gold, and said unto them, Why, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Now watch this. "Down in the day of rebellion in the wilderness, Aaron fashioned one calf. Jeroboam put up two. He put one at the border of the northern and the southern tribes at Bethel. Put one up in Dan, the northernmost point. I visited that place where a temple that had been built like the temple in Jerusalem where they did all of their idolatrous practice. It's amazing what man is willing to do and willed to disobey God in order to satisfy himself." Do you know what he says here in verse 28 or 29? "Let's make it convenient. Let's make it convenient. Let's don't expect anybody to sacrifice. Why should we want to obey God? All that stuff's too hard. I mean, going to church on Sunday night's too hard. You expect us to come Wednesday night? You mean to tell me you think we ought to go knock on doors? You mean to tell me you still fast while reading your Bible every day and don't have time? Praying, I only do that when I'm in a heap of trouble, when I'm in danger." Oh, I'm telling you, friend, listen. He made it convenient. Hey, David said, "Listen, I'll not offer to God anything that doesn't cost me something." Why the Apostle Paul said, "Why weep and ye and break my heart? I'm not willing to just suffer for Jesus when I go up to Jerusalem. I'm willing to die for Him." And that's the key. There's not enough people willing to die to their self so they can live for Christ and let Christ live through them. I got a long way to go in too short a time. In verse 29, he set the one up in Bethel and the other in Dan. Again, he made it a convenient. And you know what else he didn't do? He didn't listen, friend. He didn't take away. He added to. I'll say more about that in just a minute. Look at verse 30. "And this thing became a sin for the people. I went to worship before the one even today." And you know what? They knew it was sin. Bless God. They did it instead of what God said. They thumbed their nose at God. They put a branch, the Word of God says, in another place to their nose. Boy, I'll tell you what, listen, friend, when we shake our fist at God, and we can do that, I mean, we can say no to God. We can rebel against God. We can disobey God every way we want. But can I tell you what the Word of God said? Be sure your sins will find you out. Oh, look, God's judgment and justice, the wheels of both grind slowly, I've been told and made to believe. But when they grind, they grind finally. Oh, look, you know what they did? They made it convenient. Jeroboam made it convenient. He knew he was doing wrong. The people that watched him knew it was doing wrong. But I listen to this. It felt so good. I mean to tell you, they had something that they could, quote, experience, unquote, that made them feel good. Can I tell you what? You can get in places where you have a lot of emotion, but it has nothing to do with the Spirit of God moving through, with the Spirit of God moving on, with the Spirit of God moving in. Listen, I like experience. I like it just as much as the next man. But can I tell you, we need to bless God, to test our experience by the Word of God. 1 John 4:1 says, "Try the spirits." Did you know that not every spirit is in this world is of God? Do you know that we are not to test the Word of God by our experience, but we are to test our experience by the Word of God? I'm telling you, friend, they knew it what was wrong, but because it felt so good. I feel so uplifted. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that beautiful? Oh, I wasn't challenged. I wasn't confronted with my pet sin and my pet peeves. Oh, I didn't have to deal with this fallen nature. I didn't have to be challenged to grow and to give and to sacrifice. Oh, wasn't it so sweet going to Bethel? Wasn't it so sweet going up there to Dan? I just feel so good about, hey, I imagine that's what people said when they left the church of Jeroboam up in Bethel and up in Dan, and that's the way a lot of it's going up today in this world. And the people, they knew what God taught. They knew it was sin according again to verse 30. They didn't care. Look at verse 31. He made look at this, and he made a high house or a house of high places. And made priests. Now watch this, of the lowest people, and were not of the sons. They were not of the sons of Levi. You know what he did? Listen, they didn't just lower the standards. They tore them up. Bless God. Listen, friend, this is still a way of holiness, because God said, "I'm holy. Be ye holy." Hey, listen, friend. Listen, we get saved. There's a change in us, and if there's no change, then we've not been saved. He came to save us from our sins, folks, not in our sin. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, somewhere along about 11, 12, 13, and such were some of you. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, Paul uses the same verb again, and you were. Hey, friend, listen, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When Paul was writing to the church of Galatia and instructing them, when he gave them, bless God, the works of the flesh, he said this as he ends up verse 21, "And such like of the which I tell you, as I've also told you in the time past, that they which do," notice the word "do," that means practice. It doesn't mean an act of some sin, but it means a continual practice, a lifestyle. I'm telling you, friend, listen, people and preachers and churches and boards and whatever can say, "Oh, it's okay. You're good. We're all right with your sin. We're all right with your drunkenness. We're all right with your chosen lifestyle. But it's not what man says. It's what thus saith the Lord that counts. Bless God. It's what thus saith the Lord. He forsook the standards and he made the lowest of people priests. Why, but that was a real place to worship. You know what it was? You can just come as you are and leave as you were. Thank God. This sounds like a lot of pragmatic, sounds like a lot of emergent churches today. Oh, look, let's don't worry about doctrine. Let's just worry about feeling good. Let's just work on our self-esteem. Let's work on how we can get more likes on Facebook. Let's just work on how we take our selfies and send them out and show people just how foolish we are. Look at what he said in verse 32. When Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month. Now watch the next word, "like unto the feast that is in Judah." Do you know what Jeroboam knew? I mean to tell you, he knew God's truth. He knew what the Word of God said. He knew about this feast that God commanded the children of Israel to keep. In fact, he commanded them, "I'm blessed God, to keep three. The males had to go to Jerusalem three times." But now, who wanted to make that trip? Oh, it was so hard. The journey was so long. I mean to tell you, the preacher up in the temple was so loud. I mean to tell you, he even hit the pulpit. I mean, he was a Bible thumper. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they sang those old songs like "You're washed in the blood." And you know, I don't like the blood. That offends me. The blood offends me. Oh, they knew the truth. Do you hear me? But they chose to do something like it. Oh, it looked like it, but it wasn't it. Can I tell you? That's what I said a while ago. They didn't take it away. They just didn't blatantly change it. They didn't stop it and start something brand new. They just added to. That's what's going on today. But can I tell you, sir, ma'am, things that are different are not the same. Oh, listen, friend. How sad. I saw he offered upon the altar that which is made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised of his own heart. That's verse 33, and there's where the problem is. I'm telling you, folks, we've got a heart problem in America. We've got a heart problem in our churches. We've gotten to the place where we've changed the Word of God so many times, nobody knows what it is. There's no authority except the experience, except my little old heart, my little old mind. If you're in some of these churches, if you're in some of these churches that have and purport and teach and offer a convenient Christianity, hey, they've forgotten about Thus Saith the Lord. They've forgotten about the old 1611 King James Bible. Hey, they've forgotten that when God gave those 10 things to Moses on Sinai, they were law. Hey, listen, this is a book that I hold in my hand called the Bible, and it has commandments in it, expectations, the will of God for me and you if we're to serve Him. Hey, listen, sir, ma'am, bless God, I'll tell you, if I was in a convenient Christianity place, I'd get out, I'd run, I'd repent, I'd fall before God, I'd seek revival, I'd ask Him to send me to the right place at the right time and go for the right reason. Oh, friend, listen, it's not going to get any better from here on in. Look at what He said over in the book of the Revelation, beginning with chapter 3, verse 14. Because when you step into chapter 4, bless God, the true church is gone. Hey, let's sacrifice, let's suffer, let's serve God in His way for
Thank
His
Thank you, friend,
glory.
For listening to Inspirational Truth next today. Time. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.